Hi, and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Good morning. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host here for, a really long time on KFBK, 18 years, something like that. Glad to have you with us. Glad we can be here making sense of things. I'm recording in a different place. I'm actually in my office. And I came to my office because I want to talk about what really happens when we get older. And I want to talk about actual things. It's easy to talk about theory. It's easy to say, you know, there's 13 to 14 million people on Medi-Cal in California. It's easy to say that that creates a problem. It's easy to say what the costs of that are. It's easy to say all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, what happens impacts real people. And we're going to talk about that this morning as it revolves around the world of frailty and what happens as we begin to lose our way and what happens when we can't take care of ourselves anymore, or mom and dad can't take care of themselves anymore, or whatever it is. It's a really important concept, and it's really important for all of you to grasp. I'm glad to be with you. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host. I have to say that I'm so tired of saying this, but I have to say all this. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should actually talk to a real live attorney, preferably one that knows what they're doing. I have a California insurance license, which means I've been licensed, have a California insurance license for over 40 years. Doesn't mean I'm going to sell you any, but I have to say that because I might secretly be trying to sell you some. And it's a requirement. I have a California legal document assistant license, recorded in, Sacramento County, California. And that's where my bond is filed. I'm a notary. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be securities licensed because then I can tell you the truth. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only. It's a good opinion, and it should be taken. But it's a good opinion most of the time when it comes to long-term care. I don't know how many Medi-Cal cases I've done, folks, but it's probably approaching 2,000. I don't know. And I want to talk about what really happens to real people when this happens. Everybody has heard stuff about spend down and you can't do this. And I've heard it all. I've heard every idiot thing that comes out of advisors' mouths for 25 years. I've heard every idiot thing that comes out of the mouths of nonprofits who make tons of money giving out bad advice. I've heard every idiot thing that comes out of a stockbroker's mouth or a financial advisor's mouth about long-term care and Medi-Cal and Medicare and veterans benefits and all the stuff that everybody thinks they know everything about. And I really don't want to talk about this intellectually today. I want to talk about it as it really impacts people. There's a lot of ways you can get a hold of me. By the way, I have an upcoming workshop on March the 4th. And you can sign up for that. You can do that in a couple ways. You can call me on the phone, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Again, assetsandaging.com. And you can go there. And you can sign up for my website. You can listen to my podcast. Sign up for my workshop. You can listen to my podcast. They're archived there. You can listen to my archived radio shows. You can do all of that stuff. My website is filled with information. You can send me an email. You can sign up for my email newsletter, which I send out from time to time. I'm getting ready to do one now because I think there's some new stuff to talk about. I don't send it out just for the sake of sending it out. I send it out because I think there's stuff that's important for people to know. You can go to my Twitter feed, which is at Assets and Aging. Lots of places for you to get information. But today, I want to talk about some stuff. Okay? What's it like to apply for Medi-Cal? Well, the Medi-Cal application is 24 pages long. So when somebody applies for Medi-Cal because they're in a nursing home or because they need in-home care or whatever, and let's not confuse Medi-Cal with Medicare. I do it sometimes. Medicare is health insurance that pays for you when you get sick if you're 65 or over. Medicare does not pay for nursing homes. Medicare does not pay for home care. Medicare does not pay for assisted living. The primary payer of long-term care are you and Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal is a needs-based program called Medicaid in every other state. So here's an application for someone who needs Medi-Cal. When this application came, it's in a big, gigantic envelope, an 11 by 13 envelope. It weighs about 2 pounds. 80% of what's in there you can throw away because it has nothing to do with the application. But nobody tells you that. You would have to know that. So what's left are, okay, here's what they want. I'm reading from the, this is a case that's been assigned to a worker. I'm not going to tell you what county because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I am going to tell you about some counties in a little bit, but not when it comes to this. So it says, what do we need? So on the front of it is a what do we need letter and about 50 pages of stuff stapled to the back of the what do we need letter. So this is what you need. This is someone who has a loved one in a nursing home. They can't afford $10,000 a month, so we're applying for Medi-Cal. Okay? And this is the what do we need. It says, if you tell us about, then we need this. So we need, here's the things that they need on this person's relative. They need identification. They need a Social Security and Medicare cards. They need naturalization or immigration documents if not born in the United States. They need a birth certificate. They need, in some cases, a marriage license. They need current statements for checking, savings, CDs, money market accounts. They need anything to do with your health insurance card. They need to know how much you pay in premiums. And by the way, if you have 6 different banks and 2 accounts at each bank, that means you're going to need the entire statement from all of those banks or credit unions. They need your current pension or retirement pay stub, must include gross and net income. They need a Form 1099-R. They need a Form W-2. They need disability or alimony pay statements. They need life insurance policies. They need stocks, bonds, deeds of trust, promissory notes, annuity policies. They need proof of your current address. They need registration for all vehicles. Then inside, see, folks, you thought that's all they needed. No. Just getting started. Then inside, there's a 24-page application. Then inside that, you have to list all real and personal property. I'm not making it up. It's a Medi-Cal form. It's 2 pages long. And at the top, it says real and personal property. Supplement to Medi-Cal mail-in application. You think I'm making it up? I'm reading it. Okay? And then there's a privacy statement. Then they list a language preference and assisted living and reading and assisted listening and reading identification. You got to fill out your primary language and ethnicity. Then there's a 2-page statement of citizenship. Not making that up. Then there's a notice regarding transfer of a home for both a married and unmarried couple, or unmarried persons, applicant. Then there's a prepaid envelope. Then there's there's what's called a SAWS 1, which is a 2-page information sheet that has to be filled out. I'm not done yet, folks. Just a second. I'm going to find the other forms. I got to flip through here. Okay. Then there's an authorization to release information. Then there's a fair hearing request, which is for an appeal. If you ever need an appeal, you have to name who you want. Okay. Then you got that. Then you have to send in copies of all their identifications. Then you have to send in their Social Security benefit award statement. Then you have to send in their birth certificate, which, you know, we got all of that. And then and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So that's to apply for Medi-Cal, for someone in a nursing home, or for IHSS, or for the Medi-Cal waiver program if you're in assisted living. Okay? So, you know, here's another one. It has all of that stuff. And by the way, it could be from different. They want a copy of the trust. If you have a trust, they want a copy of that. They want a copy. Here's all the bank statements we've started putting together. They want, if it's a married couple, the well spouse needs to prove that the married spouse can't answer their own questions. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. I'm looking at all of it. Pension statements. Funeral plans, funeral statements. I'm just getting started. Statements from, you get my point. Okay? So, at the very least, you're going to get 30 pages of forms to fill out. And you have to supply them with all the supporting documents. And then you mail that all into to Medi-Cal. And hopefully, And by the way, it'll take you 2 weeks from when you apply if you apply to the right place. Now, I recently applied in Alameda County. I faxed over what's called a SAWS 1 to start the Medi-Cal application process. I didn't hear from anybody for a week, so I faxed them another one. And I didn't hear anything for a week. And then I called up the program director and said, I've been faxing you guys stuff. How come I haven't gotten anything back from you? And she said, well, that's a good fax number. I don't understand why. So she said, can you hang on a minute? I said, yes. She said, well, you're not in the system. I said, I know I'm not in the system, but I faxed it. And she said, just a minute. And she comes back a few minutes later and says, oh, we found the file. It's been sitting on the worker's desk. She hasn't had time to process it. That's been 3 weeks, folks. So you can imagine my client and the nursing home who are now freaking out because they think the file's lost. Nobody knows where the file is. So then the program specialist, who I got a hold of on the phone, had me fax it directly to her. And this is now this weekend. And that was last Monday. And I still haven't heard from anybody. So that's what happens when you begin to start the Medi-Cal process. And I can go through case after case after case after case sitting in front of me, in which this happens all of the time. Here's a case where I faxed all the information to the worker on 2-6. It's been a week and a half, and I haven't heard a word. Now, at the end of all of this, all the bank statements, all the pension statements, all the tax stuff they wanted, all the file is now an inch and a half thick. So all of that got faxed to the worker. I haven't heard anything. At the end of that is what? A client with a loved one in a nursing home. Now, I'm not picking on counties, folks, because some of them are really, really great. We're really lucky in Sacramento County. We have really pretty great workers here. But I had another county north of us that I recently applied for Medi-Cal, and they sent me that same big gigantic package. And I sent all the stuff in. And I called the worker and said, I haven't heard anything. You know, what's going on with the case? And the worker said, well, I got to send you two more forms. And I said, okay, why weren't they included in the, I don't know, but they weren't. So I got to send you two more forms. I said, okay, send me the two more forms. I get the two forms. I've been doing this for 25 years. And I called up and said, I've never seen these forms before. What are these forms? I've never seen them. I'm confused. And she said, well, I don't know. It just says I'm supposed to send you these forms. I said, well, can you like help me out a little bit? And can you tell me what these forms are? Well, no, I don't know what they are. I said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You sent them to me. You're telling me that I have to fill them out, but you don't know what they are or how to fill them out because I've never seen them before in 25 years. So we walked through them for a little while. I mailed the forms back last week. I still haven't heard anything. I'll be making a phone call probably on Monday to find out what the status is. Medi-Cal is overwhelmed right now because we have added almost 5 million. If any of you have been reading anywhere, we have added almost 5 million new people on Medi-Cal under Covered California and under the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, in the last couple years. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing, folks, but I can tell you this, it has slowed down everything. And workers who used to be dedicated workers, that is, if you submitted a long-term care case or a breast cancer case or whatever, it went to someone who specialized in those applications. Now all the workers are generic, which means they handle whatever comes across their desk. And they're less informed and they're less well-trained. And for that, I do hold the state accountable. Workers are not well trained, and it's not their fault. It's not that they don't want to be trained. The worker I was talking to in a county north of here wanted to know what the forms were, but no one had ever trained. They just said, put it in the envelope and mail it. That makes it very difficult to help someone when at the end of the day, you can't help someone. And this is all important for a very, I think, central point to my conversation here. And the point to my conversation is this. How many people have been denied benefits to which they would have qualified simply because they missed a form, they didn't fill out a form? I can tell you in the VA world, it happens all the time. I see guys that are VA agents. They fax the same thing to the VA four times. They have verifications, and the VA says, well, we never got it. We're denying the case. So how many people in California have been denied Medi-Cal benefits of any kind because of the state and because of workers? I know somebody that runs an organization. I'm not going to tell you who because I don't want to embarrass him, but he helps people of low income get food stamps and Medi-Cal programs. His organization is one of the best things on the planet Earth. And he started it as a result of trying to do this for his family years ago. And of course, he couldn't get anybody to help him. Now he has an attorney, attorneys on the staff. Now he's got a wonderful organization that he recently helped one of my clients who I couldn't help. And again, I don't want to give you out his name. I don't want him flooded with phone calls. But one of his great frustrations, because I've watched him in meetings with Medi-Cal, one of his great frustrations, I remember sitting in a meeting with him with Medi-Cal because he does a lot of Medi-Cal for children. And he asked the Medi-Cal director and the high mucky-mucks at the Department of Healthcare Services, he said, how many children are on Medi-Cal in California? And I'm not making this up. And no one could tell him. And he said, wait a minute. We have this Medi-Cal program. We have all these people in it. And you can't tell me how many children in the state of California are on Medi-Cal. And this was before the Affordable Care Act. My point is, it's not as easy as Medicare. Medicare is pretty simple. I signed up for Medicare. It's pretty simple. Social Security, Medicare does a pretty good job. You go to their website, sign everything up. Pretty soon, you know, when the time comes, you get a card in the mail. Have a nice day. Medi-Cal Nobody's in charge. And understand the Medi-Cal budget, DHS, the Department of Healthcare Services, is the largest single budget in California. It's bigger than roads. It's bigger than schools. It's bigger than universities. It's the largest budget item in California. And it's somewhere between $1 and $3 billion underfunded because of the new ads to Medi-Cal. My concern is for the people who can't navigate the system. Who I can't tell you how many people I now have on Medi-Cal that when they went to Medi-Cal or when they went to the nursing home would said, "Oh, you'd never qualify." We just got a case approved in I'm not going to tell you which county. It was not Sacramento County, in which the county told my client up front, "You'll never qualify for Medi-Cal. You have too many assets. You'll never qualify for Medi-Cal for your spouse. You have too many assets." Well, the case just got approved. So my concern is for how many people are turned away at the castle door. How many people, when it comes time to really, really, really need it, are told you can't get it? How many nursing homes have told people, "Well, you can't stay here. We don't have any long-term care beds. You can't stay here. You're on Medi-Cal. Your rehab days are up and Medicare's not paying anymore. You have to go home." How many people have been denied benefits and been denied access to facilities because they've been told something purposefully or ignorantly that's not true? And I'm sitting here looking at a lot of cases, and in every single case, at some point, people were told there's nothing you can do. And I'm here to tell you, if you have a failing loved one, if you have somebody you care about who may need a nursing home, if you have someone that's beginning to fail, you better have your ducks in order. Because somewhere along the line, somebody is going to tell you, you can't do this. I had somebody recently who, we started the process for a spouse, and the next door neighbor said, "You can't do that. You're going to get in trouble for doing that." And the spouse called me up immediately and said, "I don't want to do this. I'm afraid of getting in trouble." And I absolutely could not talk them out of it because some neighbor told them there was nothing they could do and they were going to get in trouble. You need to understand what your rights are. You need to understand what can be done. You need to understand exactly what you can keep and all of that. A good place to start is by getting out of bed and getting to my workshop on March the 4th. You can do that by calling me during the break at 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can go there. That'll work. Sign up for my workshop. Send me an email. I'll send you back a ticket. Or again, you can call me at 800-999-8007. But when the day comes, will you lose benefits to which you are entitled because somebody told you you can't do it? You have too much money. They're going to take your house away. There's a 5-year look back. There's a 27 generation look back. There, whatever it is, you have to get a divorce. You have all the stuff, all this baloney that's out there. I can't use the word I'd really like to use, folks, because I'm trying to be polite. But you've all heard it. So how many people are losing that to which they're entitled because they've suffered from bad advice and been scared away by facilities or by Medi-Cal or by DHCS or by whoever it is? 800-999-8007. You have a right to know the truth, but you have to want to. You have to want to know it. Sometimes a fantasy is better, and a fantasy is what people want to believe. But if you want to know the truth about this stuff and what you can keep and what you're entitled to, then give me a call, 800-999-8007 or get to my workshop. Get to my workshop as soon as you can. Next one's on the 4th of March. It's free. You can sign up by calling my 800 number or going to my website, assetsandaging.com, and signing up there. But sign up, you must. Seating is limited. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007 or assetsandaging.com. We're going to take a little break here in just a minute, and then we'll be back. The station has to make some money, so I get to stay on, and everybody gets to stay on, and they keep pumping out the good sounds. So we're going to take a little break for some news and some traffic and who knows what else. So stick around. I'll be back in just a few seconds. I got more to talk about right here on Assets and Aging. Give me a call, 800-999-8007 during the break. Sign up for the workshop. We'll be back in just a couple seconds. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad to have you with us. Doing this for 18 years. Kind of in a relaxed mode today, just talking about stuff and the reality of Medi-Cal and long-term care and what happens and what doesn't happen and how do we deal with this and how don't we deal with this and what is Medi-Cal and what do they pay and what don't they pay and how do we know the truth. It really is hard to discover the truth. There's so much junk floating around. How many of you have been told you have to spend down? Let's focus on some terms that are get bandied around all the time. If you need help in a nursing home with Medi-Cal or something, how many of you have been told you have to spend down? Okay, let's assume that's true. What do you have to spend down to? Well, Bob, I heard you have to spend down to $2,000. No, you don't. Well, Bob, I heard you could have $100,000 or something. No. Well, Bob, I heard there's nothing you can do if you have like $200,000 in a house. No. Well, Bob, I heard there's a 30-month look back. Not really. I've heard there's a 5-year look back. No. For instance, you know there's no look back between spouses of any kind. What? But you've all heard that somewhere. How many of you've heard, well, my mom went to the hospital. She had a stroke, and she went to the hospital. She was there for about 4 or 5 days, and then they transferred her to a nursing home for rehab. And at the end of 2 weeks, the nursing home told me that she had to leave unless I wanted to pay $320 a day. No, not true. But I was told that they had no long-term care beds. No, they're in a bed. Medi-Cal doesn't have assigned beds. There's no such thing as a Medi-Cal bed. Well, Bob, I was told we're going to have to cash in my mom's IRAs. No. No, no. Son. I was told we could only have $1,500 in life insurance, and so we're going to cash in mom's life insurance policy. No. I was told we could only have a $1,500 funeral. No. But wait a minute. I was told we could only have one car. No. I can keep going. See, what else can I throw in there? We were told we were going to have to sell the rental and we couldn't do it. No. My dad has a business. We were told we were going to have to close the business down. No. And on and on. We were told the best thing we could do is get a divorce. Anybody that tells you that is an idiot. I don't know any competent elder law attorney around who would suggest that. I just don't know. And I certainly wouldn't suggest it. I'm not an attorney, but I certainly have never suggested it or sent anyone to an attorney to get a divorce because of this. Well, Bob, my wife and I are legally separated, so she's going to the nursing home, so my assets don't count. Yes, I do. What? But we've kept our assets separate. And it doesn't matter. Medi-Cal considers the assets of either of you the assets of both of you. So you better do a little planning. What? I never heard that. I know. Well, Bob, my tax preparer says there's nothing I can do because I have too much money. Oh, yeah? How much is too much? Where does it say in the regulations where the limit is? Well, I read somewhere where that, what if they're, especially for married couples, what if there wasn't? And on. Bob, it doesn't matter. I heard that we can just transfer everything from my wife, who's in the nursing home, to me, and then I'll own everything. Oh, yeah? Is your wife competent? Well, no. Well, then how's she going to transfer everything to you? Well, we have a trust. Well, does the trust say you can take her community property away from her and give it to you? I don't know. I've got powers of attorney. Do your powers of attorney, first of all, don't have anything to do with the trust. But secondly, do your powers of attorney say you can do that? I don't know. Knowing is everything. Knowing is what keeps people from losing everything. Knowledge is everything. I cannot tell you how many people in a year call me on the phone. Bob, I've been listening to your show. I talked to a friend of mine who heard and knows you. And my husband, let's pick on the husband for a while. My husband went to the hospital. He had a stroke. And now he's in the nursing home. And the nursing home says he can't stay there anymore. I know lots of attorneys and some of my clients who've actually been put in a cab and sent home by nursing homes at the end of their Medicare days because they've been told there's no Medi-Cal beds available. There's no such thing as a Medi-Cal bed. Did you know by federal and state law you cannot discriminate based on method of payment in a nursing home? Did you know that? Well, I was told I can't take my mom out to IHOP for lunch because if I do, it'll cancel her Medi-Cal. No, it won't. Well, I was told I couldn't take my mom out for a birthday party back to my house from the nursing home for the day because it would cancel. No, it won't. One of the biggest problems I have in this world is overcoming all the junk that people have been told. Because once people have been told something, they tend to just believe it. They tend to just go, oh, well, I guess somebody told me that, so I guess I can't do it. Do you understand the difference between admission and observation in a hospital? You don't? You better. I've gone over it many times on this show, but you better. You darn well better, or you could wind up having, if you don't understand the difference, you could wind up going from the hospital to a nursing home and then getting stuck with the bill for rehab. Well, how could that happen? Go find out. Listen to one of my past shows on observation or one of my past newsletters on observation versus admission. Every one of my clients has said to me for 25 years, everyone, without fail, the one that just left here a few minutes ago, it took them 3 days to find a nursing home that would take their mother from a hospital. We don't have any room. We don't have any rehab beds. We don't have any long-term care beds. So finally, they get their mother placed in the middle of the night. She's moved from the hospital to the nursing home, and there's no one there to check her in when she gets to the hospital or check her out from the nursing home. They just moved her, told the kids. Kids show up at the hospital. There's mom. Nobody. Okay. Not supposed to happen, but it did. Kids could have stopped it, but they didn't know. So they get to the nursing home. Everything's fine and dandy. They walk in here because they don't can't afford, mom doesn't have $10,000 to pay for the nursing home. So we're going to do Medi-Cal. To the credit of the nursing home, they told the family that they could do this, which is unusual. I'm not going to name the nursing home, but it's to their credit. I applaud them, and but I don't want to name them without their permission. But it was great. But when the children got here, and we started talking about what we're doing and getting the Medi-Cal stuff started and all that kind of stuff, they both said the same thing. We never in a million years thought it would be this hard. We never in a million years thought we would ever have to do this. We never in a million years thought we would ever be making the decisions. We're having to deal with our parent being moved in the middle of the night from a hospital to a nursing home. We never thought, we don't even know how to begin to figure out what we're supposed to do. Now they're having to deal with the funeral home and all of that stuff because somewhere in the future that's going to happen. And they never, they're trying to find out if their mom had a funeral plan. They don't know. They think so, but not sure. So they have to go find out. They never thought in a million years that they would have to deal with this. And that's been true for 25 years that I've been doing this. And if you talk to elder law attorneys and people who do what I do, who are good people, they will tell you the same thing. Everybody they have ever talked to has said, I can't believe we had to do, I can't believe it was this hard. I can't believe I'm a son bathing my mother. I can't believe I'm a daughter cleaning up the hygiene issues after my dad uses the bathroom. I can't believe I was going to have to do this. I can't believe that I'm the one that had to make the decision to check my dad or my mom or my grammy or my grampy into a nursing home. I can't believe the decisions that I'm confronted with every day. I can't believe the banks I go to who are idiots, one of them in particular, which I wish I could name, but I'll just say this, their name has been in the news a lot, who won't honor powers of attorney. Doesn't matter who did them. They won't honor them. I mean, it's stunning. And forcing children who are freaked out, who now can't even pay the bills for the care for their parents because the bank won't let them use their power of attorney. And it's one bank in particular, and I'm not going to name the name, but they've been in the news a lot lately. And they should be ashamed of themselves because of what they're putting children and grandchildren and spouses through because they can't figure out how to do it. And the children are beside themselves because they can't figure out how they're going to pay the bills for their mom and their dad. It's really, really, really important that you understand the matrix that you enter when it's really, you've seen the movie The Matrix, the matrix that you enter when you begin to have to start making long-term care decisions for somebody. It's the most important thing and the hardest thing you will ever do. It's harder than dealing with death because death happens relatively quickly, straightforward. We know what we're going to do and we move on. Dealing with frailty can last for years and years and years and years. I'm going to keep going years and years and years. It's important you have your ducks in a row. It's important you have a care planning agency that you know of and can trust. Senior Care Solutions is my favorite. Carol Kinsel. When you're trying to find an assisted living or a boarding care, how do you pick? Children have to go pick. How do you pick? Mom's trying to pick one for her husband. She's freaked out. How do you pick? How do you know what to look for? How do you know if they're any good? How do you check citations? How do you check work history? How do you check all that stuff? It's important that whoever your stockbroker is understands the difference between accumulation and retention. It's important that your stockbroker understands he may have to talk to the children. It's important that your stockbroker, that you have documents that are going to allow and ask the stockbroker in the bank, say, will you accept my power of attorney if I go bonkers? Ask your credit union in advance and say, if I go bonkers tomorrow, are you going to accept my power of attorney so my children can manage my affairs, and get their answer in writing? You better find out in advance, because more and more and more banks and brokers and other people are not accepting powers of attorney. And the reason is simple. It has nothing to do with protecting the public. It has everything to do with the stupid Patriot Act because of money laundering. Yes, I guess people in nursing homes engage in money laundering a lot. That's their excuse, by the way. It's a stupid excuse, but that's their new excuse. So you need to find out if is your bank going to accept your successor trustees that are named in your trust? Are they going to accept your kids or your spouse on the power of attorney? You better find out, because more and more banks. I hope more people start complaining, and I hope there's a class action lawsuit somewhere against some of these banks and credit unions. If enough people start having problems with powers of attorney, maybe there's a class action lawsuit in here somewhere to force some of these banks to not... understand what I'm talking about, folks, here. You got parents that are ill. You have children who are freaking out. Or dad's had a stroke, and you have a spouse that's freaking out, only to find out that the bank won't accept the power of attorney. They want their own. Now, we had a bank the other day say, well, the person's going to have to come in here and sign our own power of attorney and our own notary. By the way, that's a violation of the notary rule. A notary, by law, can notarize anything anywhere. So if I notarize something, my notary is valid anywhere in California. There is no requirement that the notary come from the bank. So you've got the wife or the kids that are freaking out, and then the bank, instead of helping them, says, by the way, we're not going to honor your husband's power of attorney or your mom's power of attorney, so I'm sorry, you don't have access to, but I got to pay her bills. I'm sorry. Your mom will have to, my mom is now incompetent. She's had a stroke. We don't care. Your mom would have to come in here and our, well, if she's incompetent, how's your notary going to notarize it? I talk to elder law attorneys every day, and this is coming up more and more and more and more. And I hope you all begin to complain to your banks and your credit unions. I hope you all start going to your banks and credit unions and putting down in front of them your power of attorney and saying, if I go bonkers, can my daughter make decisions for me or son or whoever it is? And if the answer is no, go find another bank. Because banks and credit unions purposefully, just to not have to get rid of the money. I know somebody that tried to make a deposit into a credit union from a life insurance policy. And they said, well, the check is made out to Mary Smith. And the trustee said, well, yeah, that's she was the spouse. The husband died. There was a death benefit. The check is made out to Mary Smith. And they said, well, we can't deposit this check. And I said, the trustee said, why? And they said, well, because there's a trust and the check's made out to Mary Smith. And the trustee said, this was a credit union. Are you kidding me? And the trustee said, no, it's a death benefit. See, it's payable from Acme Insurance. It's a death benefit. And I, as the trustee, wanted to, and the power of attorney, or the trustee saying this, want to deposit this into my mom's trust. Well, we can't do that. I'm really confused. It's a deposit. Can you go talk to your manager? Person comes back a little while later and is told, well, the manager says it's our policy not to do that. And the trustee says, what? So the trustee calls me up and says, what do I do? I said, I don't know. We have another idiot bank. By the way, this is a very common problem. And I said, well, the only thing I can think of, I can't give you advice, but here's something you might want to try. Are they honoring the power of attorney? Oh, yeah. Okay. Then tell them you either go farther up the food chain or you want a really big cashier's check and you're going to close the account and take the money out. And they said, really? I said, go try it. What do you got to lose? So they called me back about 20 minutes later and said, the teller went back to the manager and the manager gave them a phone number and they called and my client said over the phone, they could hear the person on the other end of the phone saying, of course they can deposit the check. Why are you calling me? But yet the child, the trustee, the person that had the power of attorney, is being put through a ringer because somebody doesn't want to take the time to do the right thing. So with what's happening in the world, I strongly suggest you take your powers of attorney to your bank and make sure they will honor them. Don't leave them a copy. Just say, if I had a stroke tomorrow, are you going to honor this power of attorney? And is my daughter or my son or my spouse going to be able to manage my bank accounts or my brokerage accounts or whatever it is? And if they say, nah, we don't accept these, then you need to find another bank. Because when you do lose capacity, when you do lose competency, when you do become frail, this is going to become a really big issue for you. And you need to know the answer now. More and more and more, especially from one bank and one credit union. I'm not going to give you their names, but the bank has been in the news a lot lately. And it's not just me, it's everybody having problems. So instead of trying to help families, so it's become one of the new issues in frailty, is making sure your bank and your broker aren't going to put a log in the way of you trying to protect and take care of your spouse's money or your mom's money or your grandma's money and pay her bills. It really is an issue, folks. All of this is an issue. Understanding what really happens when at the end of life we need care is a really big issue, and you need to understand it. You really do. You need to know it backwards and forwards. And by the way, it's not going to become less complicated. It's going to become more complicated because there will be new rules. There are new rules coming from Medi-Cal. They've already been promulgated. There are new rules, terrible rules, coming from the VA that have already been promulgated. I've already gone through the comment period. They haven't been approved. The final approvals haven't happened, but it's only a matter of time. There's more and more and more stuff coming all the time. And you have to be up to date because being ignorant costs families tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. The family that was just in here broke my heart because they told me they had sold their mother's house to get the money to pay for long-term care, and they had gone through all of that money, and I didn't tell them that they didn't have to, because that would have just completely broken their hearts. Because their mom basically has spent everything that she and her husband put together for 50 or 60 years. Because all along the way, they were told, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Yes, there is. Get in and see me. The consultation is free. Get to one of my workshops. They're free. And then get off your rear end and act and make sure you've taken the steps necessary to make sure your family doesn't wind up watching what you worked a lifetime for get flushed because you didn't want to take the time to prepare and make sure you understood the real answers, not the answer your neighbor has. March the 4th is my next workshop. I have workshops every month. You can look them up on my website, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up on my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. Or you can call me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You have the chance to make a difference in your life, your mom's life, your dad's life, your grandma and grandpa's life, that family member who is beginning to fail. You are going to need answers to questions. Well, now is the time to start asking the questions and getting the answers, not after the fact. Now is the time to get things done that you need to get done in advance, not after the fact. Break inertia. Get up out of your chair. Walk over and make a phone call. Get in to see me. Begin to make some decisions. Get your families together and talk about this stuff. Hold a family conference. I'm happy to help facilitate them. But it all starts with a contact. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. assetsandaging.com, or you can go to my website and send me an email, ask me a question, or just call me. That's a simple way. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Thanks so much for listening. For Assets and Aging, this is your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad to be able to do this. Grateful I can do this every day. Look forward to seeing you at an upcoming workshop or in my office. I hope you all have a wonderful day and you enjoy your family. 800-999-8007. See you next week.